All right, praise God this morning. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, let's turn in them to, where are we going to turn this morning, Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we've been studying here the importance of the Holy Spirit. Actually, we've titled this Looking Unto the Spirit. Now, I say that because the Holy Spirit is the most important person in your life. There isn't another individual, another being anywhere at this time that is more important to you than the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, let's look here in Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look here at verse. Where do I want to start this morning? Glory to God. 11. Well, let's start at verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, Christ. In whom, referring to Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You and I have obtained. The word obtained means you've received something. Something has been delivered unto you. It says that we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according unto the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So we've been predestined, foreordained to obtain an inheritance that came through Christ. And the Bible says that it is according to God's perfect will for you and I. So you have an inheritance. That means there's some stuff that belongs to you. There's some things that came with your salvation that you have inherited birthright to have operating in your life. Now, if that's true, and it is because we just read out the word of God, then something is going on in the body of Christ that has put God's people in a position where this scripture doesn't look like it's true. But when I read the word of God, the Bible says, let God's words be true and every man a liar. So it doesn't. So obviously what's going on is not on God's part. It's on the part of us. Something is missing in our lives. And because of that something that's missing, there's portions of our inheritance that we have not laid hold on yet. So now what's going on here? Well, it tells you if you keep reading. Come on down here and let's look at verse 14. Well, that's verse 13. It says, in whom you also trusted, referring to Christ, after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you got born again, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, the Amplified Bible says for verse 14, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance. So there is the connector there. If the Bible says God has provided an inheritance for us and that it was given unto us through by Jesus Christ, then obviously he intended on us having it and benefiting from it because it's a part of his perfect will. But notice who's the guarantee on your possessing it. It says that the Spirit of God is the guarantor of your acquiring complete possession of your inheritance. So without the Holy Spirit's help, without the Holy Spirit's leadership, without the Holy Spirit's guidance, there will be portions of your inheritance that you will never experience because you don't know how to on your own. And there is no school upon the face of this earth that can teach you on how to receive what God has laid up for you and I. You and I, we need the Holy Spirit. He is the most important person to you right now. Without him, you don't arrive at the place that God has predestined for you to arrive at. You don't get there. So this is why we're focusing on looking to the Spirit. We need to stop looking to one another. Stop looking to media. Stop looking to medical professionals for all of our answers. And we need to start turning inward and looking to the Spirit of God, who has already been sent and guarantees our inheritance. That's who we should be looking to. That's who you should be depending on. And until you make that decision, you will continue to see things in your life not adding up, because there are portions of what you are supposed to be receiving as an inheritance that are still missing. Now, you may get your hands on a few of them simply because God is good and he's all gracious. But there is a level that you need to come up to if you plan on partaking of the good life that God intends on you partaking of. Amen. So now let's look at this. Today I want to look at, what do you do when you're in a situation and you don't know what to do? Are you limited? Are you stuck? Because everybody in this room, we have those days where things come up in our lives and we don't really know exactly what we should do in this situation. How do we handle this? And just going into my mental Rolodex isn't good enough. I need an answer from God. You need an answer from God that will settle the question and give you the victory in this area. What do you do? So this is what we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to look at what God has provided for us, because God never intended on you being without information, without understanding. All right. So now let's look here at Colossians chapter 1. I don't care what comes up in your life. I don't care what goes on. There is an answer for it. There's always an answer for it. And if you know how to get in touch with the answer, then there is no problem that could ever overtake you. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." Now, notice what Paul is praying here. He didn't pray this out of himself. Paul spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and God, through by his Spirit, had Paul write this prayer down for you and I to be able to put our eyes on it and receive what's being asked for here. Or in other words, for you to put it in your mouth and pray it too. Now, notice what he says. He says, the prayer and desires is that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That means there's that God intends on you knowing exactly what his perfect plan is for your life. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all of its wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that answers the question right there. Well, you never know what God's going to do. You should. If you don't, it's because you haven't inquired. Even in the Old Testament, before God, through the angels, went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he stopped to talk to Abraham first. And he says, hey, I can't keep this from my partner. I want to talk this over with him. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on. God will talk to his people about it if they will inquire. So he wants you filled with the knowledge of his will in all of its wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, God wants you to know. He is not keeping any information from you. He wants you to know what's going on. that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all of his wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, or that you may live your life in a way that brings pleasure unto him, or that you would live the good life, the Zoe life in which Jesus died for. He wants you to know what's going on because there's a certain level of living that he is already predestined for you to live in. God didn't predestine you to live in a world of where you are subject to poverty and lack. God never intended on you living in a world, your life filled with sickness and disease. The devil running in and out your house when he gets ready. That's not the will of God for you. But if you don't know the will of God, then you will accept that. There are many of folks sitting right up in the house of God today that will accept sickness and disease simply because they don't know the will of God in that area. It doesn't mean that they're not going to go to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that they will allow sickness and disease to live and reign and rule in their life, take them out, and they'll go to heaven prematurely when God's will for them the whole time was for them to live in perfect health in their bodies. There are plenty of people in the house of God suffering from financial issues. When the word of God says that he's already supplied all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But if you don't know the will of God concerning that, you will live in this earth and you will bow your knee to poverty and lack and live broke and busted all the days of your life. And then die and go to heaven. So he says he wants you filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you can live and conduct your life in a manner that brings pleasure to him. And that you would be in a position to be fruitful in every good work that he calls you to do. You can't be fruitful in good works if you're sick and broke down in your body. You can't be fruitful in good works if you don't have any money, anything to help anybody. You can't be fruitful in any good works if you don't even know what the will of God is for yourself. God's intent is for us to know. And he has given us his spirit that we may know. So if you don't know, it's simply because you have put yourself in a position not to know. So now we see it is God's will for us to have knowledge, to have understanding, to know what's going on. No matter what comes up in your life, God's desire for you is for you to know exactly what's going on, what needs to be done, and how it needs to be done. All the time. Now, let's look here at where do I want to go? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Now listen to this. Every answer you need for every problem that comes up in life or to every decision you need to make, the answer to that already resides on the inside of you. It's there. But Satan has trained the people of this world to look outward for all answers, to look outward for all help, to look outward for all direction. And God originally designed us to turn inward for that information. And now that you're born again, every answer you need to every single question is on the inside of you. You don't need another prayer line. You don't need another prayer counselor over the phone. You don't need to ask anybody anything about what it is that you're supposed to be doing or how to do it. All you need to do is find an area to get into your prayer closet and ask God and look inward. And the answer is there. It's there. He says he wants you filled with the knowledge of his will, right? And all of his wisdom and spiritual understanding. So if he wants you filled with that, and if that's the desire that information would be available to you, then obviously God has put you in a position for that to happen. Now notice what it says here in verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Amplified Bible says, for who knows or understands the mind, the counsel and the purpose of the Lord, so to guide and instruct him and to give him knowledge? Nobody. But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, the mind of the Anointed One, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Now, notice that it says, this is what it did not say, that you will get the mind of Christ. It didn't say that, did it? It didn't say that one day you may have the mind of Christ. It says you have the mind of Christ now. That's significant. Because if we have the mind of Christ right now, then that means we have the ability to think on his level right now. We have the ability to know what he knows right now. That means every answer to every issue that ever can come up in your life, you have the mind of Christ on it. You have the mind of the Anointed One and how to use the anointing to deal with that issue. You have that right now on the inside of you. It came in with the new birth. And it functions through the yielding of yourself unto the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. So don't tell me you don't know what to do. Yeah, you know what to do. You just haven't tapped into the information yet because it lives inside of you. Now, God's people are lazy. They rather get in a prayer line and have somebody tell them because they don't want to spend the time to find out for themselves. But God doesn't want to talk to you through a secondhand conversation. He wants to talk to you face to face, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. God wants to talk to you himself. Then that way there can be no contamination in what he said. Well, Pastor, I don't know what I should do. What do you think I should do? I don't know. Last time I looked, my name wasn't Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to do the same thing that you're going to have to do. Go ask God. So cut me out, the middleman, cut the middleman out, which is me, and go ask him yourself. I'd rather hear from God directly than have to go hear from God through somebody else. So it says that we have the mind of Christ right now. You're able to think, or you have the ability to know his thoughts. And if you can know the thoughts of God concerning whatever is going on in your life, then you don't have any problems. Because God doesn't have any problems. Problems don't exist in God's world. God is the answer to everything. When a problem shows up, it's not a problem anymore because it just found an answer. Well, that's what he's saying about you and I. Whatever shows up in your life, don't get frazzled over it. Look inward. The answer is there. So then the question would be, well, how do I get my hands on this information? Because if it's in my spirit, how do I transfer it from my spirit into my mental realm where I can function with it? What mechanisms has God put in place, or what law of operation has God put in place for you to be able to access the mind of Christ that's on the inside of you? Well, there's two places that we need to look. Let's start out in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 8. You know, we were out with the men last night. We were talking and I told them, I said, we stand on this subject right here until I see some fruit, or till the Holy Spirit say move. I will preach the same scriptures every single Sunday if I have to. But we're going to get this, folks. Because this is the law of success right here. Without the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantor, you don't benefit from your inheritance. So this is the main issue right here. Being able to recognize when God is talking and leading you through by your spirit. That is the key issue. Because if you can do that, then there isn't anything that you can overcome and succeed in. You need to get out your mind that Jesus walked in this earth with some special ability that you don't have. He told you how he was successful. He told you, he says, I do not do anything. I do nothing unless I get it from the Father. Well, how was he getting information from the Father? The same way we get it, through by the Spirit that dwelled on the inside of him. He followed the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit said heal, he healed and got 100% results. If the Holy Spirit said, don't do anything, he didn't do anything. He went out there to them, to the pool of Bethesda. There were multitudes of people laying around there. How come he didn't heal everybody there? He only heard the Father say, this one. The Bible says that the man laid the gate beautiful lame from his feet every day. Jesus walked past that man every day. He was there. He didn't heal him. Why? The Holy Spirit didn't lead him to do that. That wasn't part of what his assignment. Jesus just didn't go around doing stuff because he was Jesus. He had to do the same thing that you and I have to do. Listen and wait for the direction of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost speaks, then you act. When the Holy Spirit says, say this, then you say that. And you say no more. You remember when Jesus was, they were getting ready to stone the woman caught in adultery? And it said Jesus knelt down and began to write in the sand. What was he doing? I believe he was giving himself enough time to get direction, because that was something that just kind of just happened up on him all of a sudden. You know, he was doing something, all of a sudden here comes this crowd ready to stone a woman. And if you notice, he didn't just react and do something. They were trying to catch him up in the trap. So he took time to kneel down and give himself the opportunity to hear direction. How do I handle this situation? And when he stood up to speak, he had the perfect solution. And what did it do? It solved the issue, didn't it? Amen. The same thing is true for you and I. Now notice here in Romans chapter 8. And we've looked at this, and I don't care. We're going to look at it again today. Verse 26. Once again, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. An infirmity is a limitation. It doesn't just mean sickness. It means a limitation. Because if you're sick in your body, you're limited. So likewise, Jesus will help infirmities or help you in a place where you're limited. Well, where are you limited? It tells you, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. The Amplified Bible says we don't know how to put the prayer together like it needs to be put together. We don't actually know how to pray in this right here. But the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So it tells me right here that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. That word helpeth there comes from a combination of words that says this. Likewise, the Spirit will take hold together with you against the limitation. Or the Spirit of God will come in and take hold together with you against what you don't know. And if he partners with you, what you didn't know, you know now. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ on this now. So you're not now there's no more limitation, because I've just partnered with all wisdom. I've just partnered with all knowledge. And I don't have to know what to say because it says he's going to give me what to say. And then he goes on and says, and he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Well, who's searching your heart? Well, the Bible says that that's the job. God uses your spirit as a candle to illuminate you. The Spirit of God knows what's going on. See, the reason that this is so wonderful is because you'll come to me for information, but you won't give me all the information to function on. You'll come to counseling and ask me a question, but you're only going to give me the part of the conversation that you want me to know. And I'm sitting here functioning on 50% of the information, and you expect me to give you a quality answer. Come on, that's what go on. Come on, I don't been to counseling sessions myself. I know that's what go on. Nobody comes to a counseling session and tells you 100% of the truth. At best, you may get 70. But the scripture says he that searches the heart. See, the Holy Spirit knows the full thing about that situation. Every aspect, intricate detail about what's going on there. You can't lie to him. He's searching your heart. He knows what's going on, and he knows the mind of God. And he knows exactly how to take what God has to say about that and apply it to this situation here, where it will get maximum impact. Where if you come to me, I'm functioning on 50 or 60% of the information. I may say something, but it may not solve your problem. Why? Because I didn't know everything. But it says he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So whatever the issue is, he is going to make intercession, or he's going to give you what to say that perfectly aligns with God's perfect will for the situation here. He's going to make sure that you're filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and understanding concerning this matter. Why? So that your life would mirror what pleases God here. He maketh intercession for the saints according to God's will. And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. The Amplified Bible says there that we are assured and know that God, now listen to this, being a partner in their labor, all things work together. When God has partnered with you, it's going to work. Or when you've partnered with God, it's going to work. Now, how did God partner together with you? When he, through his Spirit, took hold together with you against the limitation. You just gained a partner there. Now, think about this. You got to understand the significance of partnership. Let's just say me and Antoine decided to become partners. We had an issue in life. I'm a farmer. He's a warrior. I know how to grow food. I'm good at growing food. We haven't seen a starving day in our lives because I'm a good farmer. I can plant and I'll grow it. I don't care what it is. I can grow it. But all of a sudden, I'm having a problem because everybody keeps coming to my garden, stealing my food because they know I can't fight. I can grow it, but I can't defend it. So I'm starving because it's not because I can't grow the food, because I can't defend myself to keep what I'm growing. Now, on the other hand, Antoine's a warrior. He can fight. He ain't met a person he can't whoop yet, but he can't grow nothing. He's starving because he don't know how to grow food. I mean, he can fight, but what good is fighting and you're hungry? So one day we bump into each other. I'm limited because I can't fight, but I can grow food. He's limited because he can fight, but he can't grow food. So we meet up. Hey, man, guess what? I'm the best farmer in this county. Man, I can grow anything. And I heard that you can fight. I heard that you ain't met a person that you can't whoop. I tell you what, if we go into partnership, I give you all the food you ever need, ever, if you just make sure that they don't steal from me anymore. Now, where I was limited, I've gained strength. Now, why? Because I can grow it, and you better not touch it because I'm going to call my partner. And when he show up, he gonna handle you. And when he get through fighting, I'm going to make sure he got a whole truckload of groceries to take home with him. So we got a partnership here. And now we're apart, we were weak and limited. Together, we're very strong. So God is saying here, on your own, you may be limited and weak in an area. But when I partner with you, strength just showed up. The answer just showed up. And there isn't anything that together we can't get done. How did you connect with it? Because you agreed to yield yourself unto the Holy Ghost, and he gave you an utterance to speak that you couldn't do on your own. See, you sitting around thinking the Holy Spirit is going to make you pray in tongues. He don't make you do anything. There's a yielding that you have to do, and you submit to that. And when you submit to that, then he comes online and he does his part. He gives unto you an utterance. And whatever you pray, you know it's according to his will. It's perfect. It has answered the question. Well, Pastor, I don't know what I said yet. That don't matter. The realm of the spirit understood it. Revelation on it will come later. It don't matter if you know right now. All you need to know is a couple of things. Number one, did God hear me? Number two, is it his will? Then if it is, that settles it. That settles it. But you're going to have to spend the time partnering with the Holy Spirit. Let me just go ahead and be straight out here. You're going to have to spend the time praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking and praying in tongues. There is no way around that. Not in this day and time. There is no way around you as a born again individual skipping around through life without praying the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues. You are going to have issues that you are not going to be able to solve. You know I'm not lying because I'm sitting up here looking at a bunch of issues in this room right now and they going on. How many of you take your issues and go in your prayer closet and spend time praying in tongues? No, you sit there or you lay there all night trying to figure out how to solve your own issue. Wake up the next morning with the same problem and it didn't go anywhere. It got worse. When all you had to do was go in your room, shut the door, and pray. And when you get up, Mark 11, verse 24. Whatso things you desire when you pray, believe you receive and you have them. It didn't say whatever you understood when you prayed. It says whatever you prayed. I know it's God's will. I prayed it. The Holy Spirit helped me pray it out. He's my partner. That settles it. This thing is done here. It has to work. Why? It is the law of God. It works. It works when you allow God to partner with you. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 once again. You have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ right now. Now, verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak, you and I, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You can speak the wisdom of God. Why? You have the mind of Christ when you partner with God. You're able to speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now hold your finger right there and go over to the 14th chapter. Let's answer the mystery question. Well, how do I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery? It tells you. 14 verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not to man. I'm not talking to you. I don't need you to understand, and I don't need an interpreter because me and you aren't talking. See, I don't get people on top of, hey, you know, you can't pray in tongues without an interpreter. When I ain't talking to you, I can. Now, if I'm talking to you, yeah, we need an interpreter, but I ain't talking to you. It ain't none of your business. This is between me and my God. But he that speaketh in the unknown tongue speaks not to man, but he speaketh unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. So this tells me right here that I got a direct line of communication between me and God. I got a direct line to God. Now think about that. Somebody will say to you, let's just say Bill Gates, you knew Bill Gates, and he gave you, hey, you don't have to go through my, don't worry about my secretary. Here's my direct line. Call me directly. That means you got some pull here. You got some direct, you got an inside connection. You bypass all of the red tape and you go straight to the source. Now, people fight for that kind of position in the world. To have a direct line, you know, the heads of state of other countries have a direct line to Obama if they need it. And Obama has a direct line to them. Well, this tells you here that you have a direct line of communication to the God of all gods. You have a direct line to speak directly to God and don't have to go through any red tape. Anytime you get ready. So it says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you are speaking the mysteries of God. Now, back over here to chapter 2, it says right here, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So he that prays in an unknown tongue is praying the wisdom of God. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto your glory. So what you praying is God's perfect will for your life, and it is designed to make you live and walk in a way that brings pleasure to him. That you may, don't forget, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Well, that's what he just said here. That when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're praying in that wisdom, which God has ordained or predestined beforehand for it to be unto your glory, your benefit, your advantage, your gain. Which none of the princes of this world knew. The devil don't know. When you're praying in tongues, the devil has no clue. And if you learn how to keep your big mouth shut, he still will be in the dark about a lot of things. But what we do is we pray in tongues and get a good revelation. Next thing you know, guess what the Lord told me? Sometimes it's not time to talk. Say what the Holy Spirit told you to say. So, but they didn't know, because if they had known, it said they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, that is a quote from the Old Testament that Paul, it came out of the book of Isaiah. 64th chapter. It's a quote that Paul is quoting from Isaiah. And most people preach this in the New Testament and stop right there. But you can't stop right there because that still leaves you limited. If your eye hadn't seen it and your ear hasn't heard it and hasn't entered into your consciousness, you still don't know anything. You just as much in the dark as you were before you started. This is saying your natural eye, the man that's trying to figure it out in his natural ability, your natural eye doesn't see this. Your natural ear can't hear this. In your natural mind, you will never understand God's plan for you. That's why it says that your eye hadn't seen and your ear hadn't heard. So quit trying to ask everybody else what to do and look to the Spirit of God, who knows, who wants to partner with you and give you exactly what to do. Because the very next verse says here, although your natural eye hadn't seen it, although your natural ear hadn't heard it, although it hasn't entered into your heart, the things that God has prepared, the Amplified Bible says, that has made and keeps ready for you. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. In other words, you are supposed to know. The Holy Spirit is in your life for you to know. For you to understand what has been revealed and what has been made and what has been provided for you within your inheritance. What good would it be for me to die and leave my kids an inheritance and then don't explain to them that it's there? Oh, she sure was a good father. He left his kids a whole bunch of stuff, but I didn't tell them. And they struggling through life. Multimillionaires. That's what's going on with God's people. You have all this glorious inheritance that has been provided for us, and you're down here struggling through life because you won't inquire. It's not that God is not trying to get the information to you. He gave you 66 books of what his mind is. The problem is you don't understand nothing in this book without the Holy Spirit, and most of you don't even read it anyway. The extent of your Bible study is Sunday morning and maybe Tuesday night. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. The Holy Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit knows the depths of God. Now, we have... For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? I don't know what's going on in Steve's mind right now. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your mind right now. But you know, your spirit knows, the real you knows. And it's saying, like it says right here, nobody knows that save but the spirit of that man that's in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So don't ask me what to do. I don't know. I mean, that's safe to say. I'm not getting ready to try to be Superman and solve all your problems. I don't know. Matter of fact, God didn't call me to solve your problems. I thank God that I learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I don't try to pastor like what I've saw in the past. God didn't call me to solve your problem. God called me to teach you the word of God so that you can get with the Holy Spirit and get your problem solved. And I'm not going to let you make me to be your God. I'm going to point you back in the direction of the Holy Spirit every single time, because he is your source, not me. So the Holy Spirit knows what God's mind is about this issue. And then he says, now we haven't received the spirit of the world. You haven't received the spirit that once again locks you up in a limitation. But we have received the spirit which is of God. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom, emancipation from bondage. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. That you may know the things, or that you may have the wisdom that has been freely provided for you and I from God. So don't tell me you're not, I guess God just don't want me to know what's going on. Yeah, nah, that tells me right there that you don't know what you're talking about. Nobody knows God's mind about this. You know, God is mysterious in all of his ways. No, he's not. Not if he's a teacher. So don't tell me that you can't understand this. You can understand this very, very, very well if the person doing the teaching is God. He's the one doing the teaching. Then you can understand it. Why? He's already put in you the mind of Christ. Why don't you go ahead and start confessing that? Glory to God. I may not in my natural mind know what to do with this, but in my spiritual mind, I'm connected to the mind of Christ. I know exactly how to handle this. And I receive how to handle this by faith. Then go in your prayer room and get to praying. I mean, you can't hold a man down that's going to pray in the Holy Ghost. You can't keep him back. You can't hold him down. Because if you're going to go pray in the Holy Spirit, I just read for you. Hey, I just partnered with all the power that there is. I just partnered with the creator of the universe. You can't hold me down as long as I make a commitment by faith to receive from the Holy Spirit in praying in tongues. You cannot keep me down. I may be a little perplexed at the moment. But just give me a few minutes here with this. An answer's coming. You got to enter into your prayer room knowing that the answer is coming. Not hoping to get an answer. I ain't hoping to get anything. The word of God says that if I'll do this, then I'll know. Then this is what we're going to do. And I'm telling you, God will start talking to you. Now, here's probably why you're missing it. You're looking for this grand old, thus saith the Lord, and all of the goosebump filling and the lightning bolts and the thunders crackling and flashing. And you're waiting to hear this big, and thus saith the Lord, do this, go there. And you're not going to hear that. You know what you're going to hear? You may get up at that moment and hear nothing. Driving to work the next day, you know, such and such and such. There's an answer. I was driving, coming home, listening to a teaching series, something that I'm working on right now. And it's out of the clear blue. I heard a statement made on the CD, and then God spoke right up behind it and said, this is what you need. This is what my people need to hear. You don't work for provisions. You work, he says, you don't work to get provisions. Through provisions, I'll give you some work. That was profound for me. Now, that may not mean much to you, but see, you don't know what I was praying about. Now, I didn't get that when I was on my knees or in my closet praying in tongues. It didn't happen. That's not when I got it. I got it a few days later driving to work or home from work. But when you get into the place where you've learned to pray in the Holy Ghost, your spirit becomes sensitive to wisdom when it shows up. You will know there's your answer right there. Sometimes you may get it right then while you're praying in the Holy Spirit. He may speak and tell you what to do right then. It don't matter when it happens. All that you need to know is it happened. I didn't wait until I got that revelation from God to say, oh, there's my answer. No, I thanked him for the answer when I got through praying. Glory to God, Father, I got the answer. That I just spent however much time I just spent praying, and I know the word of God says that whatsoever thing. Said, no, let's back up. This is what I said. Hey, the word of God says, and this is the confidence that I have in you, that if I pray anything that is according to your will, you hear me. Now, I know what I just pray is according to your will, because Romans chapter 8 says you pray, you intercede for me the perfect will of God. And the word of God also says, then if I know you heard me, then I know I have the perfect petition that I desired of you. And then Mark 11 says, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe I receive them when I pray, and I have them. Well, glory to God, I got that wisdom. And then a few days later, here it comes. Now, if I'm sitting there waiting to hear, thus saith the Lord, I would miss that little small, soft, just little, it's just like a little raindrop hit your window, boom. And you got to recognize it. But if your life is all in hell and chaos and confusion and fussing and bickering and all this worry and doubt and unbelief going on, you don't hear none of that. It comes. God always does his part. It comes. But you don't recognize it, or you don't even pay any attention to it. Why? Your life is too loud. And you miss it. For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice verse 13, which things we speak. Not in the wisdom, I'm not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Ghost, in the wisdom the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The Amplified Bible for verse number 13 says, and we are setting forth truths in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Ghost. Words that come to you through the Holy Ghost. Words that the Holy Ghost gives you. Combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual languages. Notice that. He is giving you the answer, the truth about this through your spiritual language. Is it dawning on you that prayer in the Holy Ghost is important? I am trying to get you to see how significant this is in our lives. And we've let it slip. There is a truth. There is a truth. There is wisdom, a truth about this issue. And there is a spiritual word that the Holy Spirit wants to put in your mouth. But if you don't let him, he can't do it. He can't partner with a person that won't yield to him. Therefore, you stay limited. And then you have the audacity to be angry. Well, God didn't. How come God didn't? How come he ain't worked it out? How come he? Why are you blaming him? How much time did you spend waiting for the information to come? Did you pray any in the Holy Ghost? We've been talking about this since the ending part of June. How many of your prayer, many of you in this room's prayer life in the Holy Spirit has picked up since then? If it haven't, shame on you. By now, you ought to be very, very, very proficient in speaking in tongues. You know how I can tell you haven't done much of it yet? No, I can tell. I told you Tuesday. And I looked at it this morning. Because folks that stirred up, folks that's built up, it only takes a brush to set them off. A person that's always on edge, ready to cuss you out, cuss you in a minute. That's always on that edge. It don't take muscle for them to cuss you out, does it? You just barely hit them wrong, bump, trying to get through the crowd, bump them wrong. They don't cuss you from here to next week. Why? Because they're always there. Well, you can be the same way in the Spirit of God, where all it takes is a glory to God and it's done. You don't lost in the Holy Ghost. When you stirred up, when you built up. You know, part of receiving the wisdom from God is on that built up plane. When it came time for John to receive the revelation, no, now notice what God had to tell him. Because he's out here on Patmos, a prison camp, basically. The whole island was a prison ward. In a cave. Living kind of rough. He may have been struggling up and, you know, back and forth. I don't know because it didn't say this, but I can imagine in an environment like that, you know, you have some days where you got to keep yourself built up. You got to stir yourself up because this is going to be a little depressing here. But what was one of the first things the Lord told him when he showed up? Before he could get the revelation. What did he say? Come up here. In other words, hey, get yourself up here. Build up. Because the wisdom that I'm getting ready to provide for you is not down here. It's up here. And you're not going to get it sad. You're not going to get it depressed. You're not going to get it heavy. You're going to have to stay built up so that you can be in the flow where the answers is flowing. It's not that the answers aren't flowing. The answers are you aren't built up. You down here in this negative flow down here where nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's that flow down here. But there's a whole other flow going on up here for people that will believe God and stay prayed up in the Holy Ghost. There's a whole other flow up here that's going on. And every time you get in it, you get your answer. Every time you get in it, the need get met. Every time you get in it, understanding revelation shows up. But this is what we do. Our life is constantly doing this. You get up here, you're in the flow, and you're going well. Woo, you fired up. And then something bad happened. You're down here in this valley. And you come in talking about, I'm in the valley. Well, why are you in the valley? And then a few weeks later, you're back up here again. Woo, glory to God. Oh, I'm back in the valley. Well, why don't you just make up your mind to stay on up in the flow? I'll just make up my mind. I'm going to live up here. Amen. It's better. So there's revelation that's made available for you. And it says here that there are spiritual languages that the Holy Spirit is trying to give unto you. And he's trying to give you what to say. He's trying to show you what to do and give you what to put in your mouth, because life and death is in the power of your tongue. And if he can get his word in your mouth, then you can begin to speak the very life that God wants you to have. But if you won't yield to that, you won't put that in your mouth, you won't even listen to the Holy Spirit, then your life is going to continue to look like it looks right now. This is why I'm saying the Holy Spirit is a guarantor. He's going to do his job, but are you going to yield to what he's doing? When are we going to start learning that, hey, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by his spirit. So let me get in connection with his spirit and get his might and his power and get this thing solved. No such thing as you have the same problem this year that you had last year. That told me right there, you ain't been praying the Holy Ghost. I can't have the same problem this year that I had last year and I got the wisdom of God. And I'm operating the mind of Christ? No, because the Bible told me that Christ, the anointing, destroys the burden and removes the yoke. So ain't no need of me saying that I've been here a whole year and struggling with this thing for a year and it's still here and I'm still struggling. No, you haven't done something that God told you to do yet. That's what that is. Quit lying to yourself. Let's just go ahead and be honest. It is what it is. You won't do what the word of God says do. Therefore, you don't have a partner and you stuck with that thing on your own. Trying to figure out how to get out of it. Asking everybody who don't know anything. But let me call the pastor. I just told you, I don't know. Asking me is like asking the person sitting next to you. Calling me on the phone, ask me what to do is like going in there asking your 3-year-old kid. I don't know. Well, you're supposed to be the pastor. Yeah, right. Get in the Bible and find out what the pastor's job is. It wasn't to answer all your questions. God didn't hire me to do that. He didn't call me to do that. He didn't call me to be your God. He called me to teach the word. It tells you very clearly in the book of Timothy, in Peter, in James. It tells me clearly, preach the word. Be an example. And give them sound doctrine. And nowhere in the list did it say, answer their problems. Where did you see Jesus answering people's problems? Jesus was telling me, right, quick fact, your faith has made you whole. Be it to you according to your faith. Got out there, I told the disciples, well, where is your faith? He's always is doing what? Pointing them back in the direction of believing God. Not believing me as a man, but believe God who's working through me. So there's information that belongs to you, but you're going to have to pray in the Holy Spirit, because verse 14 says, but the natural man receives nothing from God. But the natural man receives not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, rather. Why? Because they're foolishness to him. The stuff that God's going to tell you to do doesn't make sense. It wasn't supposed to make sense. It was designed to build faith. Faith doesn't operate in the sense realm. Faith operates in the realm of the spirit. It wasn't designed to please your senses. It was designed to answer your question. So if you're trying to figure it out with your natural mind, that's why you keep saying, well, but Lord, that don't make sense. And then you don't do it. Lord, I need some money. Well, take the money you got and sow it. Well, then I don't have any money left. That don't make sense. See, you wasn't ready. You're still trying to figure this thing out in your own mind. Well, I heard the pastor stand up there and say that if we believe you, you'll give us $1,500 to get a van. Then why can't you give me $1,500? Because I need to pay my bills. If you're going to give me $1,500 for the van, how come you just can't give? So you see, you don't miss the whole thing. That's why he's trying to minister the $1,500 to you, because he know you got some bills. See, you're missing it. You focus on how come you got attitude because all you heard was the van. Well, what about my bills? See, you're still blind right here, because the Bible says that God was trying to minister some seed to you so that he could provide for you and multiply your seed sown. Why? Then you can pay your bills. See how in the natural mind it didn't make sense? But when you plug in to what the Spirit of God up here is saying, then you get clear understanding. Clear understanding comes. So it says they don't receive because it's foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Or in other words, you're going to have to receive this thing by faith. You're going to have to believe that it is like God said it is. You're going to have to receive it, even though you don't feel it, even though you can't smell it, even though you can't taste it or touch it. You're still going to have to stand flat footed and say, I believe God. And it is like he said it. You know what the word amen means? So be it. That's why the Bible says amen. So be it. It's settled. I'm not changing. I know what the doctor told me I can't do. And I know what the doctor told me about this. And I know what the doctor told me about that. But by his stripes, I am healed and I'm made whole. So be it. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. The Bible said, I am a healed man. Therefore, what's going to come out of my mouth is whatever the Holy Spirit has to tell me about healing. That's what I'm going to say. I refuse to say I can't and I won't because the doctor says I'm sick. No, you can't afford that house. Your credit is toe up. I'm not going to come home and say, well, they told me we can't have it because we got bad credit. No. Lord, did you tell me we could have this? Then somehow you're going to supply the need for that thing, because you told me I could have it. I'm not caring what that banker has to say about it. They don't know. You know, I was listening to Bill Winston teach, and he gave this testimony of this man, this lady, who she was having a baby. She was pregnant. And you know how you have to go in for your checkups periodically. So she went in, and the doctor told her, well, we got a problem here, and it looks like this baby, we're going to have to do a C-section. She was getting close to having a baby. We got to do a C-section because there's some issues here, because this baby's facing the wrong direction. And if we don't get this right here, you know, there's going to be some complications and all. You know, just gave her a whole bunch of stuff. So she came home, told her husband, well, the doctor said that such and such, and the baby was this, and the baby was that. Now, here's a man who's moved by the Spirit of God. Turn around, looked at her, and says, he don't know what he's talking about. Go in there and cook me something to eat. He don't know what he's talking about. And that's all he said. She don't want to hear that. That ain't what I'm believing for, basically. So she went back next time. Well, hey, something don't happen here, and everything looks normal now. It looks normal because somebody believed God. Not the doctor. Somebody believed God, not the lawyer. Now, am I telling you to throw away your doctor? No. Am I telling you to get rid of your lawyer? If he's shady, yeah. Get rid of him. Find somebody that know God. But what I am saying to you is this. When issues and problems come up in your life, the first place you should turn is inward, not to somebody. Stop going to other people to get your answers to your life's issues. Talk to God. You have a clear line of communication between him and you, and he wants to partner with you in this situation and give you the correct information that will solve this issue once and for all. That's what we want. And that's available to you and I when you will spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. So the next issue, the next piece of information that comes into your life that something is wrong or something's not happening or you don't know what to do, don't go to pieces about it. Say, okay, thank you for that information. And then go in your prayer room and go to praying in the Holy Ghost and watch it get solved. Watch God give you the answer. I'll tell you when we were at work and we were getting a new superintendent. And this superintendent was getting ready to fire all the people that did what I did. You know, she's getting rid of people. And I just so happened, God just so favored me enough to make sure I got that information. And I got a little nervous about it because I'm getting ready to lose my job here. But God didn't tell me that for me to panic. So I went and did what I'm telling you. I got off work. I went up to the church. We was on 63rd Street at the time. I went up in that church and I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. I need my job right now because I got a wife and some kids and I need my money. So I went to pray in the Holy Ghost. And in the process of praying the Holy Ghost, walking back and forth, I begin to think about the fruit of the Spirit. And then I heard come up out of me while it just came up out of me. I command peace to come up on me right now out of my spirit and take and mount guard over my heart and my mind. Where'd that come from? I was praying in tongues and it switched and came out of my mouth in English. And right away, the panic kind of stopped. The panic went away. When the panic went away, then I heard the Holy Ghost say this. Now, don't you wait for somebody else to handle your business for you. Because I asked the outgoing superintendent to talk to the new superintendent for me. I had did that before I left. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say this. You don't let nobody else take care of business for you. Go up there and talk to her yourself. I said, okay. Now I got some instructions. Got right back in my car, right on back up to the school, found where she was at. And she was standing there talking to some other folks. I said, excuse me, I need to schedule some time with you. And she said, one was nasty. I don't have time to talk to you right now. Schedule with my secretary. Just schedule with my secretary. I ain't got time to talk to you right now. Okay. I don't need me to get no attitude. I don't care to get offended. I already know what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Excuse me, Miss so-and-so. I need to schedule a meeting to meet with so-and-so. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And went on home because it was Friday. The point was going to be Monday afternoon at 7:00. No, it was Monday morning. I take it back. It was Monday morning. Got there on Monday morning, got out of my car, went right on to the office, and she was in her office. I came on up in the office. Now, I'm doing what God told me to do. I came on her office. As soon as my bottom had hit the chair, I said, now. And she says, well, there's your contract right there. Just go ahead and sign it and just whatever. And that's how she was talking to me. Just go on and sign it here and we'll take care of it. I ain't have an attitude all you want. The Bible says, by this I know you favor me because my enemies don't triumph over me. Have an attitude all day long. Just give me my contract. Thank you. And out the door I went. Now, that's a whole lot better than me sitting at home. Oh, Quantra, I'm losing my job. What are we going to do, girl? I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. Ooh, Jesus, I hope we don't lose our house. I could have did that and would have been fired. Struggling. But praying, and it wasn't, notice, it didn't come because I thought of this. Praying in the Holy Ghost. praying in the Holy Ghost? Are you convinced yet? Have you been persuaded enough to realize that you need to start praying in tongues more? If not, keep sticking around. We got more to go. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Season 2's coming up. Because we're not backing off this until you get it. We're going to get this. We are going to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-manifesting congregation of people, because we're going to have some folks don't mind praying in the Holy Ghost in here. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We give you praise for how good you are unto your people. And we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.